I'm Claudio Locatelli. I come from Italy, and I was a YPG fighter, so I was fighting in the People Protection Unit in the north of Syria in the Battle of Tabqa and Raqqa. And I'm usually a media activist and journalist in the Middle East and Europe, and I've always been active in the society.
How long have you been back in Italy?
I came back in October. I have been in Rojava for 7 months and a half, more or less. And exactly the end of February of the last year, actually was exactly 1 year ago, because today is the 27th. So it was exactly 27th of February. I take off with a plane to Iraq. And from Iraq, I pass to Syria, across the border to Syria.
Why did you join the Kurdish forces in Syria?
Well, first of all, because there was a big enemy, but and the enemy was not only ISIS. The enemy was whatever is considered oppressive and a patriarchal society. And ISIS is a theocracy, patriarchal society, and oppressive. And that was intolerable for me, was unacceptable. So that was the main reason. The second reason was what the Kurdish society and the TEPDEM, so the Democratic Confederalism, together with the rest of the people of the area, so Christian, Yazidi, Turkoman, and many others people of the area, they are building up something different from ISIS, something where the women are included, have the same dignity of the men, something that take care of the ecology, something that really care about democratic, social, inclusive value. And that's what the second main reason. Then happened something. As a media activist and journalist, I was already in the area, especially in the eastern part of Turkey in 2014 and 2015. And I was an international observer during the Nevroz, the Kurdish festivity, because there was a risk of attack or military presence of Turkey. And in the end of August of 2014, and then in 2015, there was a big issue, the Yazidi genocide. I remember clearly in my mind the imaging on the television of these people escaping from Iraq, from the Sinjar mountain. Many women were enslaved by ISIS. For me, that was the limit. I couldn't more accept that in this world, in 2018, there was a so strong force like ISIS that was enslaved women and raped them as a law. This, for me, was unacceptable.
Can you please explain how the fight against the patriarchy and these ideas, how they play out in Rojava?
Absolutely. This is one of the main points, absolutely something that also in Europe, or I guess also in Australia, is a issue. Because, for example, in my country, in Italy, the salary, the income of the month, is based on your gender, on your if you are male or female, more exactly. So it's absurd, because in my opinion, if you work well, if you work, if you do something, whatever you're doing, the income or whatever other things connected should be not based on if you are a man or woman. And that's in Rojava is something really important. For example, the general commander of the Raqqa operation is a woman. I really don't remember any general commander of Italy, of army of Italy, that is a woman, actually. So this is one of the big revolution in Rojava. The patriarchy system is also an economical issue, because the capitalist, the actual modern economical system, it's really using the submission of the women, the oppression of the women as a system. You know, typically you imagine the women in this kind of Western society as a woman that stay in the kitchen, that take care of the baby, that provide the basic assistance for the man to go to work. That's absolutely creepy, in my opinion, because we don't consider it, and in Rojava instead they consider it, it. The women as a full person, that's a problem. In Rojava, the entire struggle is made of women. When we liberate Raqqa, the entire liberation of the town was dedicated to the women, from us, from the women. Moreover, the YPG, the female protection unit, is a specific unit of our army that's completely completely composed by women, and the main target is to protect women. So create a safe environment where women have the same rights and the same condition of the men.
The argument in Western countries is often about not using violence and changing people's minds by talking or whatever rather than violence. You've been in an actual war against ISIS and others. What do you say as a response to those arguments now?
That's a very interesting topic. I give you an example. If you are in the winter, you use the jacket, I guess. If you are in summer, you use a t-shirt, I guess. So you are not using a t-shirt in winter and the opposite. That's the point. The necessity of defense, also with violent method like weapons, sometimes can be necessary. I don't think is the way. I don't think is the way in every case. Is the way in the winter, using the example of before. So we try to send an ambassador, an emissary, I don't know this word in English, people that we send for diplomacy.
Yeah, ambassador,
Ambassador, thank you. In Tabqa, at the end of the campaign of Tabqa, almost at the end, there was the remaining pocket of Daesh, of ISIS, on a hill in front of us. So we tried to send an ambassador. You know what happened? ISIS sent him back in pieces, in a box. They killed this guy, probably was 21st years old. He was killed and sent it back in a box. So how you can react in this? Talking, you can try. We tried. But actually, you can really live accepting that an oppression like this can continue every day instead of fighting. I'm not for violence in the majority of the context, in 99% of the context, but I'm ready to fight for defend what is right against the oppression when it's necessary. That's why my idea about the concept.
You've come back to Italy from these issues and this topic of violence when it's appropriate or not. In Italy, there's, for example, fascists who are quite nasty. What's your opinion of how to deal with those people?
If talking about the Nazi, we can say resurrection, because in theory, it's supposed to be a dead party in Italy, fascism. Nazi fascism, according to the law. But unfortunately, for some reason, some ridiculous reason, in the last years, more people and people are joining this extreme right-wing movement that are actually against our law, actually against our constitution, actually is against our value. But the people seems don't take seriously. I want to tell you something. Also, with the real fascism in the 1936, 1937, 8, 9, 40. So during the Second World War, the people really didn't take seriously the Nazi and the fascist movement. You remember also Hitler was elected in election. So according with the question that you asked me, we have to proportion the reaction. If the Nazi and the fascists become again a violent political movement in Italy, we have to be ready to defend ourselves and defend our value and defend our people. In the meanwhile, we have to keep an eye on the situation and be proportional. Why? Why I say something like this? Because our main target is collect the people. We cannot collect the people if we scare the people. But at the same time, we have to make the people understand that they will be more scary if the fascists take the power again, like they did in the past. Of course, the way and the method will be the same of the fascism of the past, but the logo will be probably different. They change name. In Italy, they call Forza Nuova, or for example, Casa Pound. These two names really represent two fascist parties.